Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's reading comes from John 14, verses 1 through 6 and 27. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. Bless the reading and hearing.
I suspect that all of us long for inner peace in our lives. We don't want turmoil. We don't want anxiety. We don't want fear to come upon us. That's why John 14 is a favorite of so many people, especially when something is going on in their lives. They go back and can read this or learn it and quote it in times of trouble and anxiety and fear. Starts off, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Jesus says in verse 27 to his disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus wants us to have a peaceful mind. He wants us to be able to relax and cast our cares and anxieties upon him and believe that in the end everything works out for his glory. And the great thing about this passage is, even though we go through some troubles in this life, at the end we ascend and we go into heaven with God, with Jesus Christ, with all the saints, all the family, all the friends that have gone before us. So our troubles sometimes, they seem like they're just extended and they will never get over, but they will. Sometimes in this life, sometimes we have to wait for the life to come. One Roman wrote to a national magazine saying that every year it seemed like that when her family would go on vacation, get on the highway, and I remember this happening to my family, travel so far, and in this one family, the woman would always say, I think I left the iron on. Have you ever thought that? Or I left the stove on? And you go back to the house and you look and maybe it's on. Usually, probably 99.9% of the time, it's not on. Well, this one family happened every year to them. And they would be many miles away from home, have to drive back and then start all over again. A family ritual. Well, one year they were on their way to out of Chicago for Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And sure enough, her mom gasped, I just think I left the iron on. Well, this time, instead of going all the way back home, the husband pulled over to the side of the road, got out of the car, went to the trunk, opened it up. We know what's coming. Grabbed the iron, got back in the car, and handed it to his wife. I love that. I may have used that example before, but I just liked it so much. Because I know these things happen to all of us at times in our lives. Even if we're not a born worrier, sometimes things come upon us and we begin to worry, and it almost seems unnatural to us. But some people do seem to be born worried. Some poet wrote, he worried about the weather, he worried about his health, he worried about his business, he worried about his wealth. She worried about the children, she worried about her clothes, she worried about the neighbors, she worried about her woes. They worried about their taxes, they worried about their pets, that's kind of mine. They worried about their future, they worried about their debts. They worried. Still they worried. They worried, but alas, they worried about a lot of things that did not come to pass. How many times in your life have you worried about something to the point that you make yourself sick, and it never happens. And you put all that time in, fretting and anxiety and worry, and it never even happened. Wasted time. Jesus was preparing his disciples for living in the world without his physical presence. He was going to go away. The words were spoken by Christ on Maundy Thursday. In a matter of hours, the disciples would have their world flipped upside down. This was the night before Jesus is going to the cross to suffer and die. And Jesus is trying to prepare his disciples, his apostles, for the kind of challenges that they would have to face with him gone, because he was always there. They always looked to him. But now they would, in essence, be on their own. They don't understand that the Holy Spirit is coming to help them. After all, these men are preparing, in a sense, to go into battle. They don't know it, because many of them will suffer horrible deaths because of their loyalty to their friend, their Savior, their Lord, Jesus. They will need to be filled with the right stuff, if you will, to face the challenges that they will encounter. They would face gladiators and lions and swords and even crucifixions and even crucified upside down. Horrible deaths for their belief in Jesus. So Christ says to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You and I may not be facing the challenges that the apostles and other disciples were facing. We're not going to go ever into a gladiator pit. We're not going to be attacked by a lion. We're not going to be killed by a sword. And we're not going to be crucified. But we walk around burdened by many issues that affect many people. Just the common everyday things. How am I going to pay my taxes this year? Can I make the next house payment? Am I going to be laid off because others are being laid off and the economy not that great? Will I be able to save for my child's education? So I guess a lot of worries have been voting for Bernie so they can go send their kids to college free. We walk around burdened by many issues of life. And we all do it at times, but some people, it's like it's a profession for them to worry, to fret, to have anxiety. Whatever our issue is, life happens, and when it does, sometimes it sends us into a tailspin. And we don't know what to do when we're floundering about. It's good to know that Jesus has already spoken peace into our situation. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. We don't need to sink into a mire of despair. Jesus has your well-being at heart. Romans 8:28 says that all things are going to work out eventually for our well-being, for our good. Because ultimately, God is in charge of our lives. We may not see it now, but we must believe that things will get better. The thing about hopelessness is that it makes us helpless because we can see no way out of a situation. I just read, I've been carrying a note around for years. A suicide note from a woman I dated back in the 70s. She felt hopeless and helpless, and she went to a motel room and she shot herself. I can't really hardly imagine, even though I've had despair at times in my life, that kind of overwhelming despair and hopelessness that would cause you, especially at a young age, to take your own life. Living in Christ's presence reminds us that there is hope, so we can keep moving forward and refuse to give up. In South Dakota, there was a community, and we've been seeing on television a lot of tornadoes lately. Well, this one hit this town, and it tore up the church, and it tore up a lot of buildings, and six people lost their lives. And just like when Glenshaw Valley Church was flooded, I came down here immediately, and Ernie McFadden was here, and we looked and both of us had tears, and then we prayed, and then we went straight into the building and started trying to get rid of the water, and I started ripping up the carpet. Because I wanted to make sure Glenshaw Valley was built back up, that it would be here, and people would be able to find Jesus through this congregation. Well, this church, a lot of people gathered, and they were there with the pastor walking through. And then they looked over, and there was a statue of Jesus, like the one that I put up this morning, with his arms outstretched. And so that gave them the hope, that gave them the belief that they could rebuild, that things would get better. The white paint on the statue was nearly gone. Its arms were cracked. But one observer said, "I don't notice the damage. It's just so remarkable, so moving to me, with all the chaos around us, to actually be able to see, in a sense, Jesus with those outstretched arms." I think that is our purpose for today as the church here at Glenshaw Valley, and our personal lives, to help point people to Jesus, that they can go into his loving arms, and he can wrap his arms around them, and he can help them find peace, the peace that passes all understanding the Bible talks about. Before Jesus left them, he gave his disciples what they needed most, peace. It was a peace that comes from knowing that no matter how serious and dire the situation is, they found themselves, Christ was still there to be with them. He was still their friend. He still loved them. He still cared for them. Their lives mattered to Jesus. Christ's peace will always be with us. That is the greatest good news that we will ever hear. No matter what our circumstances, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He did not abandon us through his death and through his ascension to heaven. I know that some of you are concerned about your future. You're worried about what will happen. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's growing older. Maybe it's about your parents. Maybe it's about a spouse. Maybe it's about your work. So many things can come against us to try to rob our peace. But I'm always reminded that the Bible says that Satan is the destroyer, and he wants to rob you of your peace, and Jesus wants to give you a sense of peace. The secret of abundant life is to entrust the future to God and to live only for today. There's a fable about a clock that meditated about its future. Of course, clocks can't meditate on the future, but it's a parable. It had just been purchased and placed into a farmhouse. As soon as it was wound for the very first time, and it came to life and it began to tick, it began to worry about all the hard work that it had to do. It had to tick twice every second. That meant 120 ticks every minute, or 7,200 ticks every hour, or 172,800 ticks every day. And each year it would have to tick over 63 million times. Those kind of numbers was just too much for the clock, and it shut down. It passed out. Too much anxiety, too much fear. But when it came to again, this clock had an insight. It realized that it only had to click tick one tick at a time, not two. And anyone can tick just once. This insight gave the clock a powerful injection of courage, and it went about its duty of ticking and keeping the time, which it's been doing for 25 years. Just one tick at a time. Some people say one day at a time. That's really all we have. Someone else put it this way: by the yard, life is hard. By the inch, it's a cinch. I like that. All too often we allow ourselves to be overwhelmed by the thinking about what might happen in the future. What could come about? I read about our Jewish friends. I think sometimes people just have it in their DNA to worry. One of the stereotypes of Jews is they worry a lot, and I didn't put that much stock into it. I read about a book by Arnie Polk entitled 14,000 Things for Jews to Be Happy About. Well, they put this book for sale in the temple, let's say, if we had books for sale in the back of our church. It did not sell. It was a failure. So they went back and they remarketed it and changed the title to 14,000 Things That Could Go Wrong. It became a bestseller. It appears that many Jews like to worry about things. And we see that example sometimes on TV. But Christians are often in the same boat. I'm not sure that we're any better. I think it's not always a cultural thing, but just sometimes who we are as people. We need to hear the words that Jesus speaks to our hearts. Shalom, and one of the translations for that is peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. May you cast all your anxieties upon Jesus. He can handle them. And may God bless you. Amen.